It's now 9 minutes to 11, and we're going to talk about Australia's snakes now and what's making their venomous snakes so fat at the moment. A snake catcher in New South Wales removed an extra large 6-foot eastern brown snake from a home in Sydney just last week and said its body was as thick as a beer bottle. Sean Cade joins us now. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Karen. How are you? All the way from across the ditch.
Yeah, good one. Whereabouts are you?
We're in Sydney.
Oh, you're in Sydney. Oh, so you're allowed out.
Yeah, we are now, thankfully. It's been, you know, a couple of days now, so it's all good and the pubs are open and, you know, that's the Aussie thing to do. So, but the snakes don't care about COVID. They're out all the time. So that's good.
Yeah. Were you an essential worker during the lockdown? You would have been, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm double vaxxed and stuff, so just for our customers and things like that. But, yeah, definitely an essential service. Well, I mean, we've got, you know, 12 of the top 20 venomous snakes in the world over here, along with, you know, all the obvious stuff, sharks and spiders, and we've even got a snail that can kill you and stuff. So
a snail?
Yeah, it's one of them sea snail things. I don't know. I try to stay out of the ocean.
Yes.
There's been a bit of bad press about that. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, we're very passionate about what we do and stuff like that, and it's just as much about helping people as it is about catching the snakes.
Yeah, true. So why are you seeing an increase of fat, venomous snakes? What's making them so fat?
Well, I mean, it's probably kind of twofold, really, because in the middle of Australia or a little bit west of where we are, they had a mouse plague. Now, whether have gravitated to the city on trucks and, you know, in produce and stuff like that, that's potentially what's going on. But I think it's a little bit of a combination of that plus, because COVID and lockdown and all that sort of stuff was happening here, a lot more people stayed at home rather than going to work. So you'd go to work, come home, cook dinner, watch TV for 5 minutes, go to bed and do it all again the next day. Whereas now people are home more often. So they're actually encountering the snakes in their yard, where previously the snake might have been in their yard previously because it's home range, but they didn't see it because they were at work, and now they're at home. So it's a little bit of twofold of that sort of stuff. But, and, you know, where a big snake might have visited their house 4 or 5 times throughout a couple of seasons, then nobody's noticed it because no one's been home. But now that they're home, they're seeing them. The snake gets startled or whatever and into a compromised position, and then they call us and say, can you get rid of this massive snake out of our backyard? And there's a lot of urban development going on in Australia at the moment with, you know, the housing boom and things like that, and they're running out of room. So what that tends to do is where there's been farmland or acreage and, you know, expanses of land, bushland, that's all been cleared for housing. So what that does, that pushes the snakes into an area that's already inhabited by people.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so that's it's a bit of a catch-22 with what we're trying to do from a conservation side of the situation. But we're only 1 person, 3 people, because it's my wife does it, my son does it. So, we're not really going to change what the developers are doing. So it's more of a management thing rather than a... And we're getting the education out there and trying to change minds on... They're very important creatures for the ecosystem because, like anything, if you take something out of an ecosystem, the rest of it kind of falls apart. So they are an important part, although they are highly venomous.
Mm, right. So you were talking about they haven't noticed them and might not have noticed them in the backyard, and they come at certain times. Do they have like a track that they take or a route that they return to? A snake?
Yeah, generally, most snakes will leave pheromones on the ground. Mm-hmm. We can't smell it as humans, but obviously dogs have a very sensitive nose, so they can sort of pick it up and other snakes. So that's how they know how to find their girlfriends or find their way back home. Their prey items generally use the same route as well. So they'll sit or they'll trail along that route so that they know where their food is. So that's all relative. I mean, for an example, if a snake goes into somebody's garage, for example, and goes in on the left-hand side, that'll traverse all the way around the outside of the garage. But once it gets to the other side, it will turn around and follow the trail back out again so it knows how to get back out, rather than taking the exit that's there on the right hand side. Because that knows how it got in and got out, and it can be super scientific, really, but that's just a layman's way of kind of understanding what's going on. So they're pretty complex creatures, really.
They move pretty fast as well, these brown snakes, even if they're really fat.
Yeah, fat doesn't matter. It's more, with snakes, it's more, they need, they're ectothermic, which means they can't regulate their temperature up or down, so they need an external heat source to hunt and to digest their food. That's really the only reason they need it. So when they're charged up in, 5-10 minutes in the sunshine, they're as quick as lightning. I mean, they're not as fast as a human, but you've got to understand that an eastern brown snake, the second most venomous snake on the planet, if I'm chasing that snake and I get within, a metre and a half of that snake, he can stop on a dime and turn around, and then I have to pull up. Now, I'm liable to pull a hamstring or something like that, doing that sort of stuff, but whereas your red-bellied black snake is a little bit more timid, so they tend to retreat a lot sort of calmer, if you like, but they don't have such an active defence, so they always want to get away, whereas the eastern brown will kind of turn around and defend itself. So that's a little bit different of characteristic of the snake, but I've found myself chasing snake, like an eastern brown snake, and they stop on a dime, spin around, and I've got to stop before I actually run into or fall on top of the snake.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, it gets a bit crazy sometimes, you find them everywhere, in houses, in cars, under the house, all that sort of, there's a few dangerous situations, but, we're pretty experienced and we understand their snake behaviour and things like that. So,
and they're well fed, as you say, because of that mouse explosion. So they've got plenty of tucker.
Yeah, that's right. And, from a red-bellied black snake perspective, they eat other snakes and they're cannibalistic, so they eat each other as well. And like I say, it's not that there's any more or less snakes. It's just that there's more encounters because people have been home. And where the big ones have been in the bush, the urban development has now pushed them into suburban areas. So, you're seeing the bigger fellas. And really, this year has been a season for bigger snakes. And that doesn't mean necessarily that they're, because they'll only eat a certain amount until they're full. So they won't gorge themselves like a bear coming out of hibernation, for example. They will only eat as much as they need. But if that abundance of food is there all the time, it's less effort to go and find some
food. To go and get it, right.
Yeah.
I have to interrupt you there, Sean, because we're coming up to the news at 11. But great to talk to you, and thank you very much, and best of luck with the job.
Really appreciate the interest, Karen, and you guys stay safe over there, and hope everybody's safe and vaccinated and all that sort of stuff, and happy days.
Thank you, Sean. Sean Cade in New South Wales, Sydney.